Tonight we're going to be talking about thinking of others. Sort of an extension of the sermon I had this morning. But we're going to be looking at some Bible characters that were not thinking of others. And then we're also going to look at some Bible characters that were thinking of others. A lot of our lesson tonight is going to come out of the book of Esther. If you'll remember, if you've read the book of Esther, you'll note that there's no mention of the God in this book. But his fingerprints and his footprints are all over this book. One thing that I want to point out tonight is that we can stay on track as far as being Christians by thinking of others. That's sort of what I want to get across tonight. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, he said, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." You know, today society, and you hear it all the time, society, they say, me. In fact, I was watching just the last few minutes of a Hallmark film this afternoon and getting ready to come out here. And that's what that film was all about. This young lady thought about herself. That's all she thought about. Me, me, me. And you know, today it's even going a little bit further. Some say, well, frankly, I don't care about anybody. Nobody willing to think about others. But there are many examples in the Bible on both sides of this. First off tonight, I want us to look at a character. His name is Achan. And to set the stage, Achan and the Israelites are fixing to go into Israel. Are we picking up right where we left off this morning? They're fixing to go into Canaan. They're going to cross the Jordan River, and they're going to attack Jericho. Well, the attack is successful. They do what God says. They march around the city, and everything's destroyed except for Rahab and whoever's in the house with her and her things. Everything else is destroyed. Well, they go on to the next city, and the next city is called Ai. And up against Jericho, Ai is just a little teeny place like Knoxville. Probably even smaller than Knoxville. And this huge Jewish army coming to destroy Ai. Well, God says, "Don't do that. I don't want you to go up there." Well, Joshua got the big head. "God, look at all these. Look at this army we got. We can crush them." Well, they went on, got up against Ai. Ai routed them. Sent them on their way. Their tail tucked between their legs, you might say. Well, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 17, it says that Jericho was to be the accursed city, and that everything at Jericho was God's. Everything. But There was this one fellow. His name was Achan. And in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, we can read about what happened. It says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass. Well, wait a minute. I thought we was talking about Achan. I thought we were talking about one man. But the Bible says the children of Israel committed a trespass. That brings new light to Jared's lesson this morning about, am I my brother's keeper? Think about that. In verse 21, it says, when I saw among the spoils, this is Achan talking, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Achan said to himself, oh, nobody will ever miss this. All this spoils out here. But God knows all. God knows all. Well, the Israelites had gone up against the city of Ai. They'd been routed because God told them not to. And the reason that God told them not to is that there was sin in the camp. Sin in the camp. Well, we all should know what happened at Achan. He was put to death. His family was put to death. They were stoned. All of his cattle, all of his livestock, his children, everything was put to death. Let's go on to another two other familiar names. Jezebel and Ahab. Now I got to see it. How many women in here have got a daughter named Jezebel? No. The name Jezebel. We wouldn't dare put that name on a daughter. Because why? Well, we're going to look into that. Well, Jezebel and Ahab. Ahab wanted this piece of land, this vineyard. Belonged to a man named Naboth. But Naboth wouldn't give it to him. Well, Ahab was the king, and Jezebel was the queen. How dare they not give us what we want? But we find that Jezebel made it where Ahab could have Naboth's land by killing him or having him killed through the court system, plotting against him. Well, we all know what happened to Ahab and Jezebel. The dogs eat their blood. Ananias and Sapphira. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, we find Ananias and Sapphira thinking of themselves instead of others. And you might say, well, really, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't like they were doing something really bad. But yes, they were in the sight of God. And they were deceiving the people that they were supposed to be helping. When they sold their possessions and lied about how much they got for it, and they put a portion of it at the apostles' feet. You know, the Bible says, why do you try God? God knows all. God knows all. Good acts can be wrong if they are not done for the right reason. Okay, let's change it just now a little bit. Let's go and think about some of the examples of people that were thinking of others. This brings us to Esther. Esther. Well, Esther was a young woman, Jewish young woman, in the time of the Babylonian captivity. The king, or the emperor Artaxerxes, he put out a decree that he wanted to have a beautiful queen. And Esther was, the Bible says, fair to look upon. That usually means beautiful. And so she became the queen. Well, there were some people. She had a cousin named Mordecai. And he had raised her. And he didn't get along too good with the magistrate. So he had these conflicts with the magistrate. And they were out to get Mordecai. But not only were they out to get Mordecai, they wanted to do away with the Jewish nation, the Israelites, the whole nation. So when you read the book of Esther, you see how through good works, God used Esther and her family to save the Jewish nation. God's name is not even mentioned in the book. This magistrate, Haman, he went so far as to build a gallows 70 feet tall in order to hang Mordecai. He wanted everybody to see it. But God, through his providence, not only did Mordecai not get hanged, but Haman was hanged on those gallows. And how that happened was that Esther approached the king. Because Mordecai told her that Haman was plotting against the whole Jewish nation. And Esther come to the king. And that's just not like just coming in the door and saying, hey, husband, I need to talk to you. That's what Deborah does to me. Sometimes it's not, hey, husband. Well, anyway, when Esther comes to the king, Artaxerxes, you see, there's a decree out there that no one was to approach the king unless he bid them to come. So she appeared in the door. And all Artaxerxes would have had to have done, he had a staff, he had a sepulcher. If he had not moved that sepulcher, she would have been put to death just like that. But he put his sepulcher out to Esther. Therefore, she could approach the throne. And she didn't have anything to say about Haman. All she wanted to do was invite the king to a supper. But through that supper, she showed how Haman was working. People thinking of others. Esther put her life on the line for her kinfolk, her brothers and sisters, and her family. What about Moses? You know, we read about Moses and the time and time and time again. Moses is thinking of other people. You know, he goes up before God and pleads for the people. God was about to destroy the whole nation of Israel. And he went up and pleaded for their lives. Moses thinking of others. How would we react if we were in Moses' shoes? It's just hard to imagine. Some scholars have put the Israeli nation at that time marching across the desert at about 1.5 million. Can you imagine just the logistics of getting that many people to move at the same time? What about feeding them? Well, God, they had God's help. Everybody had a task to do. That was one way. Sometimes I read about Moses and all the problems that he had, you know, and I just think, well, what if he just had a Jeep that he could run up and down and talk to the people? Can you imagine how many problems that Moses had to solve? Well, you know, it goes that Moses, his father-in-law, told him how to handle that. But before that, he had 1.5 million people that had problems that come to him directly. I'd be pulling my hair out. You know, the Israelite people were all the time murmuring. They murmured at the Dead Sea. They griped about not having food. They complained about not having water. If anybody had a reason not to help these people, it would have been Moses. How many of us would have just said, "Can't stand you anymore. We'll see you. I'm walking off." But no, Moses was always thinking of others. How about the Christians in the early church? Let's turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 45. Acts chapter 2 and verse 45, it says this. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. You know, Ananias and Sapphira were not the only ones that were in that situation with the apostles. There were others there that sold their goods in order to help the people. These people were thinking of other people, not only of themselves. What a blessing it was for these people to be able to help the less fortunate. There are many ways that today we can help the less fortunate. something as simple as raising a garden and giving the fruits of that garden to someone. Buying a meal for somebody that you see in need. Let me tell you a story that I've heard, not witness to it, but the story goes like this. There was a man standing in line at McDonald's, and there was a lady with her kids in front of him. There was about three of them. And the young lady had ordered the Happy Meals and all the things that they needed to be fed. And she handed the cashier her credit card. And it was denied. The lady started to cry a little bit and was worried about what was going to happen. But the man standing behind her, saw what was happening, and he just said a few words. Put it on my tab. So he paid for her meal, and she was very thankful for that. He handed her a card that said on it, "Blessed be to you. You've been helped by a member of the Church of Christ." Well, that young lady and her family visited the next Sunday to the congregation. A few months later, she was baptized. Her husband learned the truth and was baptized. And now, he's a deacon in the church. By one simple act of kindness. How many acts of kindness do you know in the Bible? The big one, Christ give his life for our sins. Act of kindness. Dorcas, in Acts chapter 9, verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Cornelius, a devout man, giving alms to the people. Aquila and Priscilla. You know, they could have just stood by and let Apollos preach on. But no, they took him aside and taught him Jesus. The Bible is filled with people that put themselves before others, Old and New Testament. So how can we help others? Instead of sitting on the sidelines and wondering why the church isn't growing, start talking to people. You know, in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's pretty serious. When Christ was talking to his apostles, sent them on the Great Commission, that's not only for the apostles, that's for us too. Go into all the world. So how can we help them? First off, we can pray for them. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." In Acts chapter 10 and verse 2, it says that a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Talking about Cornelius. Helping the needy. I know we have a pantry. I've been witness to giving out the food in the pantry. Claude does it quite often. But there are several other ways helping the needy can be done. Giving of clothes. You know, something as simple as taking time out, taking our time, and helping somebody get to the doctor. Doctor's appointment. You know, our time is a very precious gift. And people appreciate it. So what does this mean as to us as members of the church? Well, let me tell you a little bit of something. Last month, I went to a preacher's meeting over in Warner's Chapel. Brother Kevin Rutherford, he had a lesson, and he called it truth. 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 And he's told us preachers, in uncertain terms, that we can preach the truth and we can be right, but if it's not done in love and kindness, it's not worth anything. We can be perfectly right, but we can make that pill so bitter that it will not go down. I hope my lesson tonight has given us a little encouragement about some things that we can do to help others and to help further God's kingdom. Sometimes, as Christians, we don't think of others so much. But, you know, we're no better than the ones that sometimes we don't notice. We need to look out for opportunities. So I'd like for us today, let this make a close this evening, and tomorrow make a new day, and we think of others. But I want to close with a few verses in mind. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 18. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. And finally, Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purity unto himself, a peculiar people.